From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. Late last week, White House officials met with Silicon Valley bigwigs to talk about two big issues in technology and the fight against terrorism. The meeting in California was about getting Microsoft, Google, Twitter, and Facebook to prevent groups like ISIS from using the internet for recruitment and the spread of propaganda. But also, the meeting was another opportunity for the government to try to push tech companies to build backdoors into their systems so that law enforcement could access users' data. Chris Segoyan is principal technologist for the ACLU, which has been monitoring the First Amendment and surveillance issues around these debates. Christopher, how might tech companies tackle the government's requests here?
So one thing we frequently hear government officials say is, you know, the tech companies are already proactively removing child pornography. If they can do that, why can they not do the same for extremist content? And there's a big difference between those two types of information. There's no central database for all extremist content. There's no way for a computer algorithm to automatically figure out whether something is glorifying terrorism or whether it's, you know, a photo of a war zone.
Heads of tech companies, government officials all getting together, encryption in backdoors has to be on the menu.
It really seems like the FBI has walked back their prior requests for backdoors into encryption systems. It seems like now what the FBI is asking for is merely that the big tech companies don't turn encryption on by default. You know, that's still a really problematic request on the government's part, because what it really means then is that the users who know the most about technology, have the time to learn about it, to educate themselves, to figure out how to use the more obscure features, they're going to get protections. And users who know less, who are less educated, who have less time, who are busy, are likely going to be using services that by default are insecure.
Christopher Segoyan is principal technologist with the ACLU. Christopher, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Today, let's keep with our tech and government theme. You heard us talk last week with FAA head Michael Huerta from the Consumer Electronics Show about registering drones. Guess who else was in Las Vegas? Michael Froman, trade representative for the U.S. His goal? Promote the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP. The new trade deal between 12 countries could impact privacy, piracy, and tariffs on tech goods at home and abroad. Ambassador, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
A lot of us, I think goods when we hear the word exports, and there are certainly physical products involved in technology, especially the kind that you're talking about there at CES. But I think also a lot of what we produce here in the U.S. is services, right?
Absolutely.
What does the TPP enable the U.S. to better send abroad?
Sure. Well, as you say, 4 out of 5 Americans are actually employed in service-related businesses, and services are a major focus of TPP, particularly the digital economy and e-commerce. This is the first trade agreement ever to take on those sorts of issues. We open these markets so that our providers of those services can have access, don't have to locate in those markets in order to provide those kinds of services, and that helps the broader e-commerce ecosystem.
So you said this agreement will set a precedent for other trade deals going forward. That's concerning, I know, to privacy advocates who think it doesn't go far enough. What concrete steps does the agreement take to protect our data and the data of those abroad?
Well, it makes clear that while there should be the free flow of data across borders, that doesn't mean that governments can't adopt appropriate protections of privacy as they see fit.
But there's not a lot of clarity on that part, right? It's a pretty open-ended idea of how governments might adopt this or enforce it.
It established a balance of principles, but isn't overly prescriptive of saying how a government has to protect privacy or cannot protect privacy.
What happens going forward if we end up not thinking that partner countries' privacy policy does enough?
Well, I think there's an opportunity there for us to have dialogue with our partners. One of the most positive things about the whole TPP exercise is that it creates mechanisms for ongoing engagement with these other countries.
You have been, of course, at the Consumer Electronics Show. Can you tell me how this agreement is going to impact me as a consumer of tech?
Making products more widely available, eliminating barriers to trade, but it also spurs on innovation. When you protect intellectual property rights, you take out these barriers to trade, you help to create an innovative ecosystem really around this region that help spur on new ideas and new products.
Ambassador Michael Froman, he is the U.S. Trade Representative. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thanks very much for having me.
And you heard a lot of talk about virtual reality last week at CES, but you know what idea definitely has not died with Google Glass? Augmented reality. Chinese device maker Lenovo announced a new partnership with Google in recent days. What's it about? Project Tango. It's a software platform that lets a user with a mobile device detect the dimensions of a room and then, for instance, play a game set in that room, or maybe even decide if a couch will fit against a wall during a move. A Lenovo phone supposedly coming later this year will have that function. 2016, going to be a big year for tweaking reality. Color me excited. Let's get weird. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.